but it didn't really start taking that Lake Charles, Louisiana, everything Southwest Louisiana vibe until probably about 3 years ago. And then it just became that, and we've just embraced it and pushed forward with it.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Corder, and we're excited to bring you the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana. We've got all the tools you need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary.
A terrific show coming up for you. Episode 82, we chat with Melissa Buxton over at Buck's Cajun Corner Market. A nice little... It's hard to kind of put it into a box with what they offer, right?
Like, no, it is, in fact, out of the box.
So whether it be cool artisan gifts, just a quick bite to eat, and everything in between that on the spectrum, mm-hmm. they've got it there. A great conversation as we talk, obviously, her shop, and then downtown and what it means to be Lake Charles first and downtown first. A really fun conversation.
For sure. And spoiler alert. Guess where we go for On Beats this week?
Bucks?
That's right.
So let's dive right in. We'll talk a little bit about kind of the restaurant itself, but not too much about the store, because we'll talk plenty about that. As far as the restaurant, they've kind of got it tucked away in the back. It's yep. a nice little cozy. It's like two or three little tables mm-hmm. right
little
next
bistro
to
bistro sets.
Yeah, which will next to what will soon be their kind of deli section there. Mm-hmm. I think they'll have there, which will be really nice. But it's really cool. It's just a nice little soft environment. They'll bring out the food to you. You tell them what you want, as you would, you know, any other restaurant on the planet. But it's a nice little cozy right there in the back.
Yeah. Bucks has become really known for their plate lunches because they're so delicious. And of mm-hmm. course, we dive into that with Melissa, and we talk more about these recipes and how she developed them. And they're really familial, and they will be to you too,
sure.
I think. If you head over there for a plate lunch, or whether you're taking it to go or you're eating it in-house, you will find that little sense of nostalgia, I think, for
yep.
sure. It feels, because it is, it's a homemade meal.
Yep.
And it feels like that. It feels like it's your mom's or your mama's cooking. And
the types of things they would make
yeah,
as well,
exactly.
right? So like we went and it was chicken spaghetti day.
Yep.
And it's so cheesy. It's a thick cream sauce. It's a little spicy. Lots of chicken. Just overall, a very tasty
yeah.
spin on chicken spaghetti.
It is. It's a really good take on chicken spaghetti. Really flavorful. And like I said, it kind of transports you back to something that you remember from childhood. I don't know that I've had a chicken spaghetti this good since I was a kid, right? I don't. First of all, you don't see it served everywhere, and you don't
right.
you don't have that option. Not a lot of people are doing that as a plate lunch right now. So, it was great. It was delicious. Like you said, creamy, cheesy. It had some real personal touches to it. For just a split second, though, let me pause and talk about the plates. Yeah, if you'll let me. Thank you.
Yes.
So this is all served to you. If you don't get it to go, which is really nifty, by the way, if you mm-hmm. work downtown and you're walking over grabbing a to-go box, you know, of a
would you know that
lunch.
From experience?
I know that from so much experience. Maybe I've done that twice this week already and have plans for more. I'm a regular. Like when I call, they're like, hey, Jill.
Yeah.
Like they know
first
it's
name
me.
Basis.
Yeah. They yeah. know it's me. And yeah. So, but anyways, when you go and you actually dine in, it's served to you on like artisan plates. So these are homemade local artists that make the actual plates
yeah.
that it's being served on, which is really cool and such a unique touch, which by the way, you can buy there at Buck's Corner Market.
And it is so homemade that it's a potter. It's not just an artist, Jill. They're called potters.
That's this. Yes.
You know?
That is the specific
like
type
that's,
of
that,
art.
Yeah. So they're that good that they're beyond just being an artist. They're
Got it.
They're a specific artist.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
job.
Thanks. Well.
He's getting cultured.
Yeah. I'm doing my best
You
here.
Are so big on the art scene.
Oh, I really am. As far as what was else on the plate, next to chicken spaghetti, the pea salad.
Oh, okay. Talk about one of those dishes that you're like, I'm not going to like that. I looked at it and said, I don't think I'm going to like that just because I'd never had it before.
Right.
And then I ate all of it. And I was sitting, I'm just every little last pea on the plate was gone.
It was very popular at the table.
It was very popular at the table, despite all of us going, I've never had anything like that before. It was absolutely delicious. So it has some kind of made with like a ranch or a mayonnaise-y base. I didn't ask for all the secrets, but peas, it had some cheese in it. It had egg, kind of like an egg salad, if you will. But
red
it was
onions.
Really good. Red onions. It had this like different, intriguing, like refreshing flavor to it. And you know, it's served cold like an egg salad would be.
Yeah.
It's served cold. So there's a certain kind of pop of freshness that you got from that that really set apart from the chicken spaghetti. I don't know. It just really worked for me.
You know what else really works for me?
Dessert.
Yes, but the garlic bread.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like it, very, very
don't
good
skip
garlic
on
bread.
The bread
you
man.
Can't, right? I mean, on certain corners of the internet, it's garlic bread's a bit of a currency, and I can understand it. I'm behind making garlic
certain
bread a currency.
Certain corners of the internet.
Sure, sure. Super buttery, garlicky. If you see garlic bread on their menu, you get it. It's very good.
Yeah.
And follows the same level of quality that everything else
for
did,
sure.
Right? But then we do get to the desserts. All homemade, I believe, from the hand of Miss Buxton herself.
Yeah. Really good stuff.
And definitely her grandma's recipes.
Yes, that's what she said. And she said the same about chicken spaghetti, too. But yeah, family recipes. The cinnamon crumb, she said, is her momo's recipe. And she, like, remembers her making it.
Well,
and
it's a classic dessert.
It's
a classic dish.
It's a cinnamon flavored kind of cake with a little bit of that crunchy crumble on top. It's made with love and butter.
Yeah, like a coffee cake consistency,
so.
Right? Like the texture is beautiful. A crunchy, sugary base on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had it in the middle as well. So like you kind of cut the cake in the middle and you put that same in the middle. So it's like you have a double crunch.
Yeah.
It's so good. It was amazing.
It was amazing. It was almost as good.
Oh.
As the pecan praline bananas Foster. That, weird, because I wasn't expecting it. I unwrapped it thinking pecan praline and didn't know about the banana.
I like that it's...
I opened it up and was like, oh wait, something's different here.
It's a Louisiana fusion.
Yeah, it is. Of course, super sugary. It's got those hints of the spice in it, banana flavor, some crunch to it. It's one of those things you break off like a little piece, but then you let it melt in your mouth, and suddenly the whole thing's gone.
Yeah.
You don't know what happened. Someone
and
must have stolen
it. It does melt in your mouth.
It does.
M&Ms could never.
They wish.
You know what I mean? and it was full of pecans as well. The flavor was incredible. Like it was. I've never really had something quite like this. You know, its flavor is very unique because it is the combo.
Well,
so good.
You know why?
Why?
Because there's nowhere quite like Bucks.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Melissa Buxton, the owner of Buck's Cajun Corner Market. She's a lifelong pro in hospitality and travel, still serving as a regional director of sales for a hotel management company. She's also been an IATAN accredited travel consultant since 1995, so serving travelers and locals is in her DNA. As for her store, it's a true corner market, part convenience store, part lunch spot, part maker's marketplace. Today, we dig into Bucks's eclectic mix and why a downtown-first mindset matters for Lake Charles. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Southwest Louisiana, known for big city amenities and small town charm, it makes for a vast array of experiences that somebody can add to their itinerary. So, we want to know first, though, how you play in Louisiana's playground. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
These questions you don't have prepared answers for.
Oh, no.
But they're easy ones that only you know the answer to. First up, crawfish or gumbo?
Gumbo.
Correct answer. Correct.
I agree.
Congratulations, you win.
Perfect.
We should have a prize. All right, gumbo. Why gumbo?
Crawfish is only here part-time.
Mm-hmm.
Although some of us don't like to eat gumbo when it's 97 degrees outside.
She said some of us. She said some of us.
Are you included in that?
I still sell gumbo every Thursday.
Okay. There's no season for gumbo.
There's no season.
She's just throwing us to be nice to the people that don't have their priorities straight.
Yeah. Brady Absolutely. Believes there's no such thing as gumbo season. So
I love it.
Next question, poolside or beachside?
I'm a beachside, but I'm probably not going into the water at the beach.
Okay.
But I want to be able to see the beach from the pool.
Yes.
Is that
allowed? Very, yes. I think that's an important distinction to make. Yeah. If I'm in a pool, I need some beach.
I'm kind of in that too. Like, atmosphere. I love the beach, as in everything that is around the beach except for the actual beach.
Brady's not a toes in the sand kind of guy.
I love the vibes. I love the air. I love the sounds. But I would love to be in a pool next to the beach.
I do want to put my toes in it. Mm-hmm. So I am going to experience it. I just don't want to bring all the sand back with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to hear it. For me, it's a calming.
Yeah.
See, calming aspect.
And I'm like in the water.
Yeah.
Like big waves.
Deal with the repercussions later.
Yeah. Deal with it later. Like, I'm going to be in the water.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, last one. Concert or comedy show?
Concert. Mm-hmm. I'm a music girl. I have a concert in my car every morning on the way to work.
What are you listening to on the way to work?
My dad's always told me I was confused. So typically at this point, I'm a Hillsong worship in the mornings to get my day started. But after that, there may be some Bob Marley. There may be some Garth Brooks, some Lionel Richie.
Okay.
I'm not a Swiftie.
Neither am I. That's okay.
But then I'm also in, you know, you might find some Lil Wayne in there somewhere.
Yeah, I love
a good mix. I like
that your music taste is as eclectic as your shop.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There is something for everybody.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Good segue.
Yeah, thanks. What is the vision behind the Cajun Corner? And then what really inspired you to open the store and then have that diverse range of options?
So I am going to be totally honest here. The vision started with one of my childhood friends, Lisa, who lived downtown, needed toilet paper Sunday night, nowhere to go, drove all the way across town. And Key's Pawn Shop had been open, had been empty, vacant for several years. So she saw a need and started. So worked on it for about a year with the build out. And finally, they were like, okay, we're flipping the door to open because we're procrastinating. So that's where it came. And it started with Cajun Gypsy Corner Market.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward, she moved to Texas, sold it to some friends. Friends were about to have a new baby, didn't really want to do it anymore. COVID, Hurricane Laura. And I had been a part of the store since 2018, since it had opened. So it was kind of a perfect opportunity. Let's do it, because we hated to see it close.
Because
it does feel a need more than just
Absolutely.
Being able to get a loaf of bread. It's so much more than that.
Sure.
So we stepped in and here we are. So I don't think, so the vision of the having the local vendors started in 18, but it didn't really start taking that Lake Charles, Louisiana, everything Southwest Louisiana vibe until probably about 3 years ago. And then it just became that, and we've just embraced it and pushed forward with it.
I'm guessing, and I guess for our listeners who've never visited the corner market before, it truly has everything in there. So yes, your convenience store staples that you need, right? Plus great food, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, but great food and all of that too. I've bought, because you know me, every time I go in, I have to buy something on top of the meal I'm getting there. So I have my crawfish earrings that I love. I have my Saint Reynard framed fox that I have that I bought there. I've got soaps that I've bought from you guys. I mean, a little bit of you have everything.
Yes.
How, I'm assuming that when one artist comes in and says, oh, you sell this? Well, hey, I've got that too. Is that how it works? Kind of word of mouth, or you just happen upon these these great people that have all these products?
So most of the vendors that are there have been there since the beginning.
Okay.
And we've tried our best not to replicate anything else that... So if we already have a vendor that does that, we're not letting someone else come in.
I love that.
So we do have a few things that are duplicated. I myself make candles and soap.
Mm-hmm.
And being my life has been a little hectic the last 2 years with all these children getting married and having babies. Like I have another soap person and I have another candle person.
Nice.
But it's funny to see the amount of, we kind of compete now, like how much did you sell this month? Yeah. So it's fun. Really fun.
But yeah, there's just so much to offer there.
And yet it really feels like the popularity, the following has been built around the plate lunches that you guys offer.
So, and that wasn't, the plate lunches weren't even in the mix of things when we started.
Sure.
When Lisa opened, they did have a salad bar, and then she would do like chili dogs on Fridays. So just small things. But once we took over, and again, we're still dealing with Laura. We're still just new out of the pandemic. And it was slow, and the apartments weren't fully back open.
Yeah.
It was, what are we going to do? How are we going to make this work? So we just started doing some small things. Like, what are we going to be able to do to pay the lease and the electric bill if it is raining and nobody comes in to buy anything?
Mm-hmm.
Which started the plate lunches. And we started with, you know, just enough, maybe 5-10 people. And it's just kind of grown from there.
Yeah.
Can you dive into what the future of these plate lunches, what they kind of are, what you guys are offering, and then what's next on that horizon?
So me, what I didn't tell you is my dad is a chef. So I grew up
with— No wonder it's so good.
With that aspect. but then I also had a great-grandmother who I grew up from next door that everything was homemade from scratch. I stayed with her every day. I never went to daycare. I was at Mama's house every day. So learning that aspect from her and then the technical aspect from my dad as a chef is kind of where we are meeting in the middle. So it started as more of a something home cooked, sure, homegrown that you couldn't really get anywhere else. Mm-hmm. But we also didn't want to do anything that anyone else was already doing downtown. So we started out with chicken and dumplings is probably a staple, mm-hmm, for us. I think there may be one or two other places in town that serve chicken and dumplings. So, but probably not the way that we do. Like, yeah, we roll out with a rolling pin, mm-hmm, and it sometimes, now that we've gotten up to the point that we are, yeah, it's pretty tough to roll all those dumplings out. Take some time.
But I've truly, you know, I have the absolute pleasure of working just, you know, around the block from you. And so myself and my colleagues are there pretty often picking up lunch. And we've just never had a bad meal, right? Like, it's always so good and so spot on. And there is something really homey, nostalgic about every lunch that, like you said, it can't be replicated easily. Unless you call up grandma to make you something at home,
absolutely,
right? Like, it really is so, so good. My worst day is when I call and say, I need the Cajun pasta, and someone says, oof, we're out.
Yes.
But that's so good because you guys are selling out of plate
lunches. We are. And so we're trying to get where we're cooking more so we don't have that problem. So it is a good problem to have. Mm-hmm. But I hate to tell someone no. Like, it's just not in my DNA for that.
But I think that tells you all about how good it is that you've got the demand there downtown.
Absolutely. And I think it's more the new generation doesn't want to have to get in a car and drive.
Yeah.
So the young adults that we're seeing now in downtown, that's, you know, That's it for them. So it's so diverse because we do have the senior apartments at Magnolia Heights that a lot of them don't drive. Yeah. And then we have the new Woodring apartments that there's a lot of elderly there and some that don't have the means to have a vehicle. So it's, I think we're kind of feeling a void for a lot of that because yeah. there's not a grocery store and there's not, we do have the Dollar General and Walmart that are a mile or so away, but if you just didn't grab sugar
yeah.
or a loaf of bread, then we're just right there.
Yeah. Or just a, you know, a quick sandwich at work and you've got a deli section taking care of people too.
That's what I was going to say. Speaking of sandwiches, a four letter word that you guys might know something about soon. D-E-L-I, deli.
Deli.
I mean, I could spell delicatessen, but that's
way long. I will let the cat out of the bag here. We are just waiting for an inspection on a scale. So hopefully that will happen in the next few days. We are bringing in Boar's Head. So we will have deli meats and cheeses that we will be slicing daily, as well as you being able to come in and pick your own sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have five specialty sandwiches that will be on the menu. Cajun Sloppy Joe's is staying, I will tell you
Thank
that.
Thank you.
It's not going to be on a regular hot dog bun, though. It'll be on a po' boy bun moving forward.
I'll
accept it.
So that one is staying. There'll be four others joining, but you will also be able to build and pick what you want as well. So with that, we'll also be offering some fresh salads that you can pick what you want on it. And then we're going to keep a soup of the day. And then our plate lunches will just go to Tuesdays and Thursdays.
I'll build my schedule around it.
Notice gumbo ain't leaving.
Plan accordingly.
Gumbo ain't leaving.
Gumbo is not leaving, and we are keeping chicken and dumplings as a soup. So most of what we have, what we mm-hmm. offer now, will still be able to fit in that into Perfect. That menu.
Well, let's kind of shift gears. Why is it important for you, and it's obviously been a focus, to feature local and branded items when it comes to showcasing what you have to offer there?
That's kind of a two-part question for me. With our previous conversation, I'm sure at this point you can I'm big on family. I'm big on tradition. My husband and I, we're blended. We have seven kids, and so there was one thing that we wanted to make sure that our kids had a culture and they had traditions. And not on my side, but my husband's side of the family, they're big with their grandparents and it's Italian. And so the traditions that they do and is just amazing. So we wanted to make sure that we focused on local and that we were proud of local and this is what you have and this is what all of we have amazing artists here, from artists to pottery, soap to seasonings, ketchups. You would be it just amazes me every day when someone new comes in and says,
right.
Hey, we make this, and I'm like, wow, like how we have all of this here, and it's all our people from right here in our little town. So we wanted a place that they could be able to showcase every day, not just at a farmer's market or not just at an annual Christmas event, but something where they had a space where they felt like family, where they could be proud of a store that they were featured in.
Sure.
So
now this is kind of a fun one, a little bit of an exercise. When people come in, what's the first thing they say and what's the first thing they pick up?
Most of the time it's, oh my gosh, this is so cute. I didn't know this was here.
Mm-hmm.
Two different things that they normally pick up. One is we have some shirts that say, call me Lanyap because I'm a little extra.
I have a coffee mug with that on it.
So that usually attracts attention. Most tourists don't realize what Lanyap is. So that's what they're going to ask. Sure. What does this mean?
Like yeah. Niape.
And then the second thing is we have these happy little voodoo dolls. And that's usually the second thing that they pick up.
But like, I mean, everything from really cute, crafted, handcrafted, you can tell, home decor to art to jewelry. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything that you could think of. It is the perfect gift spot to me to walk in somewhere and say, I'm going to get something they've not, that, you know, if a person's got a birthday coming up that they've not seen before, they've not had, they do not have this, walk into your shop.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Unless they've been there, they don't have it. Mm-hmm. I like that. So, and I love that you were talking about filling a need in a couple of different ways there. And so you've talked about tradition and local and really being kind of Lake Charles first. Why do you think that a thriving downtown, and I know you think this way because of the way that you're operating, the way that you've talked about it, why do you think that having that mindset and that thriving downtown, why do you think it's important for the city in terms of really its identity?
Oh, are you ready for this one?
Did I open a can of worms?
Yeah.
She brought notes.
Downtown should be the heart of Lake Charles. It's that way in any other major city. Representing the history, the culture, richness, the resilience. And again, I'm a proud person of my city. And so I want to be proud and I want that identity there. So we are proud of our city and what we've overcome and what we continue to overcome. So a lively downtown reinforces that local pride and a shared sense of a place and belonging. You know, it's just been a little over a year that, you know, now we actually have historic buildings and landmarks that are located downtown. So revitalizing that area helps preserve our city's unique architectural and cultural identity. Where we're coming with the bridge and how things are going to be routed, like downtown will be our first impression for tourists. So a vibrant, a walkable, a welcoming downtown enhances our city's appeal, encouraging longer stays and sure. repeat visits. Can't tell you how many people, and this is hats off to Visit Lake Charles, that we get every year, especially more so in the summer, I would say, with the ball teams that are coming to mm-hmm. play. And it was like, oh, we were here last year, or we were here year before last, and we wanted to come see what was new. And, you know, they just love downtown and, you know, Luna and Tia Juanita's and Stellar Beans and Cotton's Hamburgers. So it's just they want to come back and they want to enjoy. But then they'll tell it, like, nowhere else we've been is this hospitable. Like, mm-hmm. every store we walk in, someone speaks and, hey, how are you doing today? Or I had a lady a couple months ago tell me that she has been fussing at her son because he says y'all all the time. And she said, so he goes back to school and the teacher's like, we don't even know what this word is. So she had to explain to him, well, they had played a tournament here for 2 weeks. And
got
so
on.
That was long
he
enough.
Caught on.
That
yeah, was long so enough. Now he's all about y'all. So I guess that's it for me. I think our, especially for us on the corner, that Ryan and Broad Street intersection is the perfect place for festivals, markets, cultural mm-hmm. events, and just to foster some community engagement.
Mm-hmm. How do we keep that going? You know, there's a huge bounce back right after the storms. Everybody's focused on getting back to not only where we were, but going beyond that. How do we keep that momentum going?
I think that starts at the top. I think that starts at City Hall. I think we have some great vision. I think we have some great people in place at City Hall. Not that I don't think that we didn't have that previously. We work a lot with Parks and Recreations, Community Services. So it's pulling that... I think a lot of things have been so divided. Mm-hmm. So it's pulling that downtown at sundown further down to downtown. Mm-hmm. Or it's pulling that, you know, art walks. Like, I'm so excited for the sports complex to be built and finished and to have something on that block that we can tie from downtown to Broad Street to mm-hmm. a holiday art walk all the way down Broad Street.
Yeah.
To the lakefront,
yeah,
connect it all together and to bridge that gap that's much needed.
Yeah, yeah. And there's been so much, yeah, like you said, there's so much growth in different places of Lake Charles, and now getting them all to make sense together, I think, is really important.
Absolutely.
And when talking about downtown wins, is that the big win that you feel like downtown needed, or where do you kind of feel like, what's a big win that downtown needs right now?
More focus, more everything right now downtown is a mom and pop shop. And people are probably going to get so tired of hearing me say this because I say it all the time. I get, not just me, everybody downtown, we get 2, 3, 4, 10 people a day asking for a donation, whether it be a basket, whether it be just an item to add to a basket, mm-hmm. whether it be to sponsor little Timmy's baseball team or little Susie's dance class. And we want to say yes to every one of those. But then we get that pushback of, you know, I can buy bread 50 cents cheaper down the road. And we get that. And we get that you can probably buy it on Amazon, maybe a dollar cheaper. But they're not sponsoring your teams.
Yeah.
They're not giving you a gift for a cancer walk or just a church mission trip. Or it's, and for us, it's, we love doing that. And I love getting the cards and with a picture from, there's a camp from my hometown that we sponsor every year. And it's just a basket, and it's not an expensive basket, but it provides so much for them. And every year when it's over, I get a thank you card and I get a picture of those kids that are junior high, high school kids that are going somewhere else and blessing another community.
Yeah.
And we want to be a part of that, and we want to give back. But it's almost a you got to give to get kind of thing. We want to, if we're not being supported downtown, then we're not able to support other aspects as well. And with it being those mom and pops, it's not just us. It's me. I have four children. Four of our children have worked at the store. Or if you go to Cotton's in a few weeks when Reagan's home from Christmas break, she's going to be fixing a burger. She may be mopping the floor. Nan and Dave have Ella that is, you know, a manager there at Luna downtown. It's about family. It's about all of us. And if we're all busy, if we're all, we're rooting for each other, if that makes sense. If Luna's busy, I'm busy. Mm-hmm. If Kate's busy, I'm busy. If Panorama's busy, I'm busy. So we want to see that downtown. And we've got such a strong knit group right now that tries to support and work together that it's amazing. So it's not only when you're supporting one of us, you're supporting all of us, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Even just a trip downtown, you know, this weekend, was it Saturday morning? I woke up and said, okay, I'm going back to the fair, the vintage shop. And I said, I'm going to get the mirror that I'd been staring at for long enough. You know, it's little things that, you know, going and buying that mirror, or Brady gifting me that beautiful artwork from your shop, going to eat downtown. I mean, all those little things all roll in together. You don't just go just once, you know. And for outsiders who come to visit here, this is going to be the place they stop in again.
Absolutely.
And you know what? It's worth the extra dollar to buy the bread, 50
absolutely.
Cents. Absolutely. To walk into a place where you feel welcome and someone greets you with a smile and remembers your name every day.
Absolutely.
That's that. Nothing beats that. You can't put a price on that.
I agree. I agree. And so, look, let's wrap up this conversation, because I like where we're at here. Another kind of exercise, if you will, a community event. If you could have one outside your store, what kind of community event would you host?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I've thought about that. There's so many. I would love to see us bring back some sort of contraband, pirate type festival. Going back to what we have in the store, we have a local author who has a book, a series of books, and they start here in Lake Charles, and it's all about John Lafitte and the lake. And like growing up as a teenager, like those were some of my favorite times in Lake Charles. Like we planned for two weekends, you know, that you had this whole big festival downtown. So I don't think that we need to start that big, but I think going back to that, where did Lake Charles come from, mm-hmm. and where, what can we hang on as a legacy? What can we,
What do we want people to know about us? So those kind of festivals, I think, are what anybody can have a rice and gravy festival or a boudin festival, because we talk all the time about that. And there was a comedian here this weekend that trashed us over our gumbo in the 337 because it's not as good as 985. So anybody can have those kind of festivals. Mm-hmm. But what are we about in Lake Charles?
Yeah, what makes us us?
What makes Lake Charles Lake Charles?
Food for thought.
Absolutely.
Love that.
Thanks again to Melissa for joining us here on the show. And the biggest thank you of all, as you know by now, goes out to you, the listeners, for joining us here on the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please leave us a rating or review wherever you listen to this here podcast.
Of course, that helps us grow our audience and further share the unique experiences that Lake Charles and all of Southwest Louisiana have to offer. Go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, advice on where to eat, and events that are happening this weekend. I'm Jillian Porter.
And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. Sit tuned.